do please be seated. Well, there is an inescapable law in our universe that as we sow our plant, so we reap. And we heard that in the key verse, James 3, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. As we sow, so we shall reap. Well, every day we meet all sorts of people. Some are delightful. Some perhaps less so. Some insist on telling jokes about chestnuts. Some are very difficult. Some are inspiring. Some are irritating. That's life. All life is there in relationships. Of course, the truth is that many of the problems we face are because of relationships or personal conflict. Sometimes we just don't get along with someone or people. So it's so important to address just how we relate to others. And of course, James gives us one of the keys. And today we're going to think about what James tells us about how to relate to other people wisely. And as I said, verse 18 of chapter 3, if you have James chapter 3 in front of you, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So I guess we can think of almost every relationship, it's like you're sowing in that relationship with others. Like you're planting something. Might be seeds of joy or peace or confidence. But perhaps jealousy or anger. And they'll all bear different kind of fruit in our relationships. Because we reap those results. So here the question is perhaps, how do we sow seeds of peace in our relationships? How can I be a peacemaker? How can I reap this fruit? And the answer that James gives us seems to be wisdom. We need to learn how to be wise in how we deal with other people. If we just blunder in, like the proverbial bull in the proverbial china shop, it's not going to be pretty. We need to be wise. Because sometimes we deal with people in a way we think might be all right, but it turns out we were really foolish because of the result, because of the fruit that comes out of what we sowed. Verse 13, we began with, who is wise and understanding among you? Didn't see any hands go up at this point. Probably just as well, because James isn't looking for people who think or say that we're wise and understanding. If we had put a hand up, James would say, great, now prove it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Show me, says James. Show me your wisdom by your lifestyle. Always in James, it's not a matter of what we say, it's a matter of what we do, how we live. So how do we get along with other people? That's a great sign of our wisdom, or not. Because wisdom is a lifestyle. Wisdom is more about character and relationships than intelligence or academic results. Wisdom, it's bound up with humility. Bound up with humility. Because knowledge can puff up, can cause pride. But wisdom leads to humility. Verses 14 to 16 of chapter 3. James says that lack of wisdom causes problems. Like all kinds of problems that you would not want. Verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. James says, this lack of wisdom is what causes all sorts of problems and chaos and pain and disorder. So how can we be wise in relating to other people? So let's look what's here. It's not an exam. Okay, relax. It's not an exam. And it's not something to beat ourselves with. But it's just some of the characteristics that we look at that James puts out there. And we say, do I see this in me? And if not, why not? Or if so, how can it be more and more? It's not an exam, but perhaps there'll be one of these 6 or 7 characteristics I'm going to talk about just briefly that maybe God will put his finger on your life and say, yeah, that's something to prayerfully seek me about. Or that will make a real difference in that relationship that you're really struggling with. So I'd encourage you just to open your hearts to what God says as we go through this. If there's one of them that he prompts you and says, yeah, this is really important for you today. So let's look at this description. Verse 17, this is what these wise people are like. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Interesting that all those things are adjectives rather than nouns or verbs. It's not so much about what you do as how you do it. This is about how you do things. It's not necessarily about doing other things or different things, but it's how we do the business of life, how we do it, in all that we do it, is touched by these things. So let's see. Number one, when I'm wise, I won't give up my integrity. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's a word that means uncorrupted, authentic. In 1 John chapter 3, the word is used to refer to the character of Christ. It's about integrity. If I'm wise, then I'm really genuine. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try and cheat you. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to be deceitful. I'll be a person of integrity. What you see is what you get. Makes sense because, of course, all relationships are built on a foundation of trust and respect. If we're not honest, if we don't possess integrity, well, who's going to trust us? Who's going to respect us? It's the currency of healthy relationships. And whatever the rights and wrongs of the current political situation debates all around the world, perhaps to me the greatest horror is just with all this stuff about spin and fake news and alternative facts. The really terrible thing is just how much trust and respect has been lost with our political leaders. You know, that the currency of political life seems to have been debased. And integrity, of course, means that we have security to live our life. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 says, the person of integrity walks securely. You don't have to be afraid about being like found out because there's nothing to find out. Who you are is who you are. Someone has said, no one has a good enough memory to be a habitual liar. Eventually, you'll slip up. But if you've got integrity, you've got confidence because there's nothing, there's no skeletons in the closet. If I'm wise, then I won't give up my integrity. A second thing. When I'm wise, I won't inflame your anger. You know, you're not out looking for a fight. You'll actually try and maintain harmony. I know there's a character thing going on. Some people really like a good argument. But wisdom is peace-loving, says Proverbs 20. Any fool can start an argument. The wise thing is to avoid them. Makes sense. It's wise. You know, let's not go spoiling for a fight. And I had a colleague once who I just knew would always take the bait. Someone would say something really annoying. And instead of thinking, that's really annoying, and moving on, they would just rise to the bait. And you get this kind of attack-defense spiral, and the thing just escalates. And I'm thinking, how did we get here? So avoid antagonizing another person's anger. A soft answer, Proverbs talks about, puts away wrath. There's lots of mistakes we can make when we get into that kind of attack-defend spiral. You can try comparing. You know, you're just like, why can't you do this? When I was your age, that's always a winner with children, you know. Yeah, that always wins. Or you can try condemning people and say, well, it's all your fault. You should be ashamed. You always, you never. You ought to. You shouldn't. So on. Someone has wisely commented that you can bury a marriage with a lot of little digs. Or contradicting, just, how do you feel when someone interrupts you in the middle of a sentence? It's really irritating. You know, just give people space to speak. Wisdom is peace-loving and does not encourage the person's anger. So keep your integrity. Don't inflame someone's anger. Thirdly, when I'm wise, I won't minimize your feelings. Wisdom is considerate, that verse says. Considerate. Considerate there means mindful of the feelings of others. It's a common mistake that if kind of, well, you feel very differently about this thing, there must be something wrong with you. You know, your feelings must be irrational or silly. Well, no, that's not how it works. James says that wise people are considerate. They don't despise other people's feelings. I don't have to agree. But if I'm wise, I won't disrespect or minimize your feelings. Again, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 15:4, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. It's easy when we react to someone's feelings to try and kind of crush what's going on. We belittle the feeling. We put people down. We can be condescending towards them. James says, if I'm wise in relationships, I will take other people's feelings seriously. Fourthly, when I'm wise, well, I won't criticize and disrespect your decisions and suggestions. You know, a wise person can learn from pretty much anybody. We're not defensive, open to reason, not stubborn. That phrase, wisdom is submissive. I think it's the only time that word is used in the New Testament in the Greek, and it means along the lines of being reasonable, of having an open mind to things, willing to listen, open to what the other person might say. The Revised Standard Version translation says, wisdom is open to reason. The Living Bible, it allows discussion. So, are we reasonable people? Can people reason with us? The Bible says if you're wise in relationships, you're reasonable. You're open to suggestions, to what the other person might want to share. Sometimes I think I operate on the basis of, don't confuse me with the facts, I've made up my mind. That was definitely my father's approach to life. Or, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. You know, a wise person doesn't antagonize anger, minimize feelings, doesn't just reject suggestions out of hand. It's not defensive. Because if somebody makes even a positive contribution, we can sometimes see it as an implied criticism and immediately go on the defensive. But that's not wise. You know, a wise person can learn from what is said. You probably heard the old story of the new vicar who arrives in the place and he preaches his first sermon. And when it's over, somebody comes along and says, well, that sermon stinks. Well, the new vicar's just preached on James, so he's trying to be open and reasonable. He says, really? Why do you say that? Well, he says, the first thing is you read it from your notes, and it wasn't worth reading, and it's just not very good. Okay, so the person goes, and the next person comes out, kind of, you know, good morning, vicar, and says, oh, don't worry about old Jim. He just repeats what he hears everybody else saying. But if we're wise, we'll be open to suggestions, not get defensive, not criticize. Again, Proverbs 12, verse 15. A fool thinks they need no advice. A wise person listens to others. If there is truth in what someone is saying, however painful, listen and learn from it. If it's not true, well, then you can. You can move on. You can ignore it. But if I'm wise, I will be open to reason. If I'm wise, I won't emphasize your mistakes. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. I'm not going to emphasize your mistakes and pick on everything you've ever done wrong. You know, the old joke about the person getting historical in an argument, not hysterical, but just saying historical, everything I've ever done wrong comes up. Proverbs 17:9, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts even the best of friends. As somebody has said, if you're wise, you don't rub it in, you rub it out. When somebody stumbles, you don't judge them, you encourage them. Because when we stumble, we don't need judgment, we need encouragement. And the wise thing is not to emphasize and dwell on the mistake. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. So James has a lot to say there. And finally, I'm going to say, when I'm wise, I won't pretend I'm perfect. I won't disguise my own weaknesses. A mark of a wise person is they don't try and disguise their own weaknesses. Wisdom is impartial and sincere. Those Greek words are about not being a hypocrite. Not being a hypocrite. It's where we get the word from, that Greek word. It's about being behind a mask, like in a Greek theater. It means without hypocrisy, straightforward. And I think, I mean, if you're perfect, then probably the church isn't the place for you, because the church is a place where people are welcomed by God's grace with our mistakes and our failures and real hang-ups and sins and faults. And wise people are honest and open. I've always remembered a friend of mine in the US. They were attending a church and they were asked to leave because they had problems. It's the kind of complete opposite of what a church should be. We don't pretend to be perfect. Because if we admit our weaknesses, then really the only person who is surprised is ourselves. You know, because God knows all about our weaknesses, and probably all the people around us have spotted them ages ago. So we're probably the only people who are revising their opinion. It's the strongest possible approach to life, where we're honest about who we are. We've got nothing to prove, nothing to lose, because as we are is how God loves us. Well, as usual, these verses in James force us to face up to ourselves, to kind of look in the mirror of God's word and say, how do I look? That list of adjectives in verse 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So we're not going to give up our integrity. We're not going to inflame people's anger. We're not going to despise people's feelings. We're not going to criticize your suggestions. Won't emphasize your mistakes. And I won't disguise my own weakness. They're all marks of wisdom. All of us are going to fall short at some point when we look in that mirror. But I wonder which one of those areas of life is God speaking to you about today. So first, remember grace. We're not perfect. We are all projects under construction. And secondly, ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is God's gift to us. Remember back in chapter 1 of James, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Maybe that's a good place for you to start today before you leave here. Think about one relationship or one aspect of those things and just ask for God's wisdom in that situation. So much of life is about living wisely. We all need it. Remember God's grace and ask him for wisdom. Because as we sow, so shall we reap. That's an inescapable law of the universe. Let's pray that we're the people who do sow peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen. Let me pray for us for just a moment.